Tonight we're into the subject of revelation as the true evidence of the Spirit of God. Christ said that to Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The church has taken an opposite view of what the power of God is. The church has thought that to get the power of God, then they would go out and overcome the gates of hell, and they would turn vast multitudes of people to God, and they would be able to do a work predicated upon what God had given them of His power, so that the jurisdiction and the authority lay in the hands of the people, having been endued with power. But the Bible does not say that. The Scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against her. It didn't say she'd prevail against the gates of hell. Christ already had done that. So when He led captivity captive and made the way of salvation. But anybody can start anything. See, that's the thing with organization and with religion. You can start out. People go and start churches. They go to foreign fields. They'll attempt to evangelize, to do personal work. And that's the easiest thing in the world. But it's when the showdown comes, whether you can stand up against Satan is what counts. Anybody can start anything. But the derelicts on the sands of time are innumerable, because the gates of hell overwhelmed them. Now, the Bible doesn't say what we think it says. It doesn't say we're going to be like Samson, take the gates of gaze uphill. I always thought, how ridiculous anyway. Who wants to carry gates up a hill? Of all the stupid cliches the church comes up with. I mean, it's no wonder there's no power. A cliche cannot stand. It's the Word that stands. Let people know that creative Word maintains us, then there's confidence. But all these things that we have said, the doctrine of men is so pure out, it hasn't stood. No wonder that Satan's going to take the whole world over. He is, all except for Handel. There's no great big deal coming in this last day. See, so people don't know what the power of the church is. The power of the church is the dynamism of revelation. When you know from God that things are not as they seem, and what you do see is not made, or what appears is not made of what is seen, and that true substance in heaven must be illuminated by the Holy Ghost, and that which we know here is substance is nothing but a shadow. Now, there's where the power of the church lies. We haven't believed it. We have done what I said people do. They make God like steam in a steam boiler. The engineer pulls this lever. You got them talking in tongues, prophesying, and doing a lot of things like that. Pull this lever. You got them laying hands on the sick and healing the sick. Now, those things are all right. But don't try to use God's power under your own authority. That's what the devil did. He hasn't got any power but what God gave him. And he said, I'll take that power and I'll exalt myself above the Most High. And that's what they did in this age. They took the power of God and said, now watch us use it. As though they had authority. In the sense of the command to execute the authority. In other words, all authority. I use that word authority now, not as in Scripture where one is authority and one's the command. But I'm using it now in the sense that authority given to them means to constitute the supreme authority of God. Sovereignty. Sovereignty has never been vested in the hands of man. Even Jesus Christ Himself, God manifest in flesh, did not exhibit sovereignty. Right? He said, what I see Him do, I do, and what I hear Him say, I say to the rest of them. He never created one thing. And yet He was the Creator. He laid that aside. That's why He could speak to the Spirit and pray to the Spirit. That's people understand one God, simple as ABC. He was referring to that part of Him that He had laid aside while He took upon Himself humiliation. How could a God come down, perfect one God, with all of His sovereign character, and then to say, I'm a God of humility? He could. Right? The humility of Christ was that He was Jehovah God manifest in flesh. Everything that God was to man, He put into a body, and that body was suffered and died. And that spirit, that soul, went down to Hades, and that spirit went back to God, but He could still pray to spirit. Why? Because He never took upon, He never kept His sovereign authority and His great authority. Now, if you understand that, you can see one God. There's nothing to it. get all confused because they one God prayed another God. Yet it was that same Creator that did it. He laid aside that part of his life. Just like when you get married as a man, you lay aside your sonship. Certainly. It's an office. It's like a figure of speech. People get confused as to what it means to sit in the right hand of God. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. If you sat in the right hand of God, you'd flop on the floor. Nobody sits on the right hand of God. It's a figure of speech. Huh? Certainly it is. What does it mean? Sit on my right hand is what the king says to the man who approved himself and showed himself that he was the great overcomer, worthy of sitting there. It's a figure of speech. And no man would dare to sit on the king's right hand because that made him bigger than the king. It's figure of speech. You won't teach people that, though. They won't believe anything except the lie. They wouldn't believe the truth. They're going to believe a lie. It's going to be more and more and more. So, to see that the Holy Spirit was given to us in order to reveal God and the things of God, which constituted power, is a complete spiritual dictum, and you don't compare carnal with spiritual. Say, now I've got this, we'll use our laws. You stick right with the Word of God. See, spiritual. Only the God will move in God's ordained channel. And there's where your power lies, and there's where the power has always lain, is in Revelation. That's what made Moses what he was, Martin Luther what he was, Wesley what he was. It was made William Branham what he was. And you saw it right in John, the epistle, when he spoke upon the anointing. You don't need a man to teach it. He said, we handled it. He said, we talked to it. We know it. Now he said, I want you to have the same fellowship. On what grounds? The Holy Spirit will reveal him by Spirit exactly as I knew him here in the flesh and what I saw by Spirit later. And if you don't believe it, then compare the life of Paul with Peter. Peter and John ate with him. They slept with him. They were walked with him. They were taught by him. And yet their concept actually was not as mighty as the Apostle Paul, who received the concept of God by revelation. Amen. And everything he got about God was by revelation. What made Paul the man he was? A revelation. See, there's where his strength was. Lay in revelation. So, to understand the Word of God, then, is to take it exactly the way it is taught us, that the Spirit of God was given that we may know God and the things that are freely given us of God. And also, those things which are laid up for us. As I said last night, what made the Christians able to have their goods spoiled? What was it that led Polycarp to the stake and made him such a magnanimous person? What is it as you read your history about any man? It is a revelation. The world is not too intrigued by the mighty miracle power because they see it and don't understand it. They try to explain it away, but they will accept the character or the person himself who has a revelation to God which gives him his ability to overcome. And that overcoming ability is what? They slap you in the face, you turn the other side. They take your goods, you rejoice because it's laid up in heaven a treasure, you know it's there. See, stability of a Christian lies in revelation. How much stability is there today because people have gifts of the Spirit? I've laid my hands on thousands of people. And in the days when I used to deliberately practice to receive a revelation from God, I had yet to lay my hands on, there's less than 1/5 of 1% who are not nervous jitters. Right? All right, where's all this big talk about the God of peace and everything else? We have thought to receive the Holy Ghost and made us dynamos. Generic, bless God. The big American executive spirit got a hold of us. The ulcer spirit. The dog-eat-dog spirit. The all-shown spirit. The give-another-shot spirit. You don't find that in Jesus Christ. Somebody got sold a bill of goods. That's what I said last night. This ain't said it has the real Holy Ghost. No, sir. No, man. No, sir. They say they have, but they have just an anointing on them. I can give you books by Christian science and unity which disbelieve in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, deny the blood, and they will produce more miracles by the Holy Ghost and faith than you'll see in many meetings that absolutely believe that they are of God and believe in the power of God and everything else. They got God. Bible says he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everybody I know that claims to have any relationship to God believes that, and they're all lost. Because no man can call God Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You can't just pick up your Bible on a cursory reading and say this, that's it. tongues the evidence because they spoke at Pentecost? Don't be ridiculous. Do you know what the book of Acts is? It's in Acts 2 and 4. It is the historical account of how the Holy Ghost fell, but it is not doctrine of what he would do when he came. The doctrine was, when I go, I'll come again by Spirit, and I will teach you, I will guide you, and this will be your fortitude. You don't take an historical account. You take doctrine. The book of Acts is not doctrine except where Paul spoke, and Peter, under inspiration, laid out the Scripture. But the Pentecostal people, like you and I were taught, because most of us have our background there, were given a historical account. And we swallowed hook, line, and sinker and said, now this is it. So therefore we take the historical book and we go ahead, and my goodness, we'll all become dynamos for God. Why, look at little Stephen. He was just one of seven. And look at Philip. He was just one of seven. Now we'll all be Stephens and Philip. Hogwash. There were at least 5,000 more men, and they weren't Philips and Stephens. Well, come on. Do all speak with tongues? No! Do all that give healing? No! Now don't take Stephen and Philip and try to make them the criteria. Take the Word of God! Huh? Well, is that right? The book, the Bible, has historical accounts in it. And it's not doctrine. The doctrine is what God is, what he proposes for man, what he wants from man. The history shows what happened. Amen. Well, that's not hard to figure out. We got sold a bill of goods. We said that's doctrine, that's it. Let me ask you a question now. How many today, if I came in and or let turn somebody loose on you and took your worldly goods, could you rejoice and say, glory to God, hallelujah, I don't mind because I've got the substance laid up because I know what I see. Well, can you? I can't. I don't know for dignity what I got. So what are you doing up here teaching us then? I'm just looking us all over and see if we can't get somewhere before it's too late. Because one of these days, the Bible said, he that's filthy is filthy, and he that's righteous is righteous. It's just too late to change it. I think the door of the ark is shut already. And you know, some, when that door got shut, it was awful dark in there. That twilight dark. We're in that day today, too. I'm not too disturbed about it, but I'm anxious to know now where I'm anxious, since I know where to be right now. I'm anxious to be in that area where rightness really is. So you can be just as sincerely wrong as a Catholic or a God knows what, or a Hottentot, heathen. A lot of those are very sincere. I believe it does take great sincerity to throw your children to crocodiles. I don't think that's a sign of whoop-de-doo ass an enemy. Let's have a ball. Sacrifice. Tommy, hey, give me your Tommy too. Bring me your Joe. That's right. To the ball. We don't look at things seriously. Amen. We've been caught up in the Hollywood world. Picnics and picture shows. Hey, let's be happy. Let's be gay. My God, that's the spirit that took Rome in every age over. It's the same spirit this age is going to end in. Amen. Eating, drinking, and all. Where are the people that sigh and cry for the sins of the world? Don't even cry for our own sins. You say, well, so what, they're all doing it. Yes, they're all going to do it, but a tiny handful. We don't belong in that group. We need revelation. We need the Spirit of God, as I said last night, to repent. I mean it. Absolutely repent. Supposing somebody left some money in your house, do you think you should spend it? No, you say that's their money. Well, then somebody left their piano there and said, you don't have to play it. Would you play and say, what difference? They left it here? That's the way the Holy Ghost was given. The Holy Ghost is given to give us revelation, right? You know that Israel had the adoption, let me read it to you here. Oh, I got lots of time. You got lots of time, too. Good, thank you. I knew somebody had time but me. Listen, it said Israel had the adoption. They had the glory, they had the covenant, the giving the law, the service to God, the promises and the fathers. Now tell me what else they could have wanted. Nothing. Yet Israel was unaware of what they possessed, and therefore Jesus said, you will go down, there won't be one stone left upon another. And that happened in 70 AD under Titus, because they did not know the day of their visitation. It takes a revelation to know what we have and are in Jesus Christ and to know the time of our day.
Amen.
But nobody's interested in that. They're interested in trying to win the world for God. Now, I'm not against those idealistic concepts and all, but stick with God and how God would do it. Remember when David tried to bring the ark up. What he was trying to do was perfectly wonderful, but how he did it was 100% wrong. And we send men out with great big movie cameras and bicycles and cars and everything. We're going to win the world for God. You aren't going to win the world for God with your cars and your great big offerings and your bicycles and your picture shows and everything else. You're going to win a bunch of goats, brother, sister. They're a million miles from the Word. You see, how do I know? Because God's Word says so, and that satisfied me. If God would have done what you and I think what this age thinks he would have done, he never would have sent Jesus Christ. He would have sent a Hollywood gang with picture shows, film, television, and you name it. Huh?
Sure.
They were blind in Israel's day. They could walk right up to Christ, and he'd say, I hear Messiah coming. Oh, they said, yes, sir, we know all about it. Well, tell me something. Oh, he lives forever, and we hear, yes, it's down in Bethlehem. Oh, yes, this and that. And he wouldn't take talking right to him. But he said, I'm that Messiah. They said, you've got to be kidding. Well, you didn't go to the high priest, introduce yourself, and knock old Caesar off the throne. You never came and said, boys, you're exactly right. All you need is more of the same. Oh, yeah. Brother Branham, don't tell our women to let their hair grow long. Tell them about gifts. Tell them they're right. Just need more of the same. Tell our men they're right. They just need more of the same. Yeah, they're right, all right. They're right wrong. Here's what Israel had, and they didn't even know it. Now, the question I am posing is this. Can we have from God these very same things and without revelation not know it? Can we have these same things from God and be like Israel, attempt to prostitute what God has given us and thereby miss it? I say yes. I say yes. The cry of Paul was, we mentioned in our prayer last night, he said that the Spirit of God, now that he's in your life, he was given to the end that you may have this spirit of wisdom, even revelation and the knowledge of him. That is the actual, literal, experiential knowledge. And to the end that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know, experientially know. There is no doubt, there is infallibility here, there is that which the gates of hell cannot prevail against because you know the hope of his calling. Let me ask you one question. How many of us live in this condition right today without confusion? Let me see your hand if you dare raise them. I've got to put it on both of mine. Larry, hold them in case I get too bold. That's why the Holy Ghost was given. Come on. That's why he was given. For this end. That a man may be a man of iron, unbending like the Hebrew children. Why, the king said, what's this God going to do for you? Well, they said, we don't know about that. We'll tell you one thing, we're not bending. Don't worry about a fiery furnace. What do we do who deserves our lives? I like that spirit. There's where reality lies. Instead of picking up these two lousy dime novels to read, if you want to read the real novel of the ages, read about God's men who stood up, the lion, sawn and thunder. Yes, sir. What made him do it? Glory to God. We'll use the power and get those guys back. Hallelujah. We'll convert them. Those heathen never were converted to Jesus Christ. But they saw God manifest in people's flesh.
Amen.
Amen. That to me is reality, brother, sister. I don't know what kind of preaching you're used to or anything else if you're used to any other kind of preaching. But to me, that is God in the Holy Ghost movement. Anything else to me is, it's interesting, but this is it. Men little on the outside and big on the inside. Huh? Yes, sir. A man's just as big as he is big inside. Preach a sermon that someday. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. How many of us know that? I'm just a no good man. I'm not worth a plug nickel. Don't we run ourselves down all the time, huh? Introspective. Critical of ourselves. Critical of each other. Huh? Sure. That's not Bible. Bible says here that these people with the Holy Ghost, because they know why he was given, will reveal the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. talking about. Holy Ghost should tell us. Then it says we may know the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. If we get these two, we're in fit position to exercise and look forward to God using a dynamism in our lives, which is in this line of what called gifts and manifestation. But what did we do? We've turned it right around. We said, well, who needs to worry about that word? That's the trouble. We're all divided on it. So, Brother Dale, we'll just meet around Jesus, glory to God, and not forget doctrine, not remember doctrine, not fuss about doctrine. That's the lady said to me in Florida last January. And I said, hold it, honey. That's just where you're wrong. All this talk about meeting around Jesus and having a great time, being sweet and loving, and seeing all the miracles and the power is exactly what the devil wants to fool you on. Because you can't be anywhere in the kingdom without that Word, because He came as the Word. And He is the Word. And we don't talk about just laying this Word of God down and saying it doesn't really matter, let's have it. That's what Pentecost did. When Parham got three boys out in Kansas and said, find me, imagine just talking to youth rather than the seasoned warriors of God who knew the Word. And said, find me the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And they said, in three places He spoke in tongues. Out of five, that's it. He said, I believe that's it. And He's called the Father of Pentecost. No wonder when I was full of the Holy Ghost, something said to me, oh God, I thank you, Lord, this is real, but there's something wrong somewhere. What is it? And I didn't know it years later because they never were in that Word. They just said, it's got to be God because I see the signs and wonders. This is it. And men can live any type of life today and they're accepted today. And I'm going to say one thing to businessmen of Pentecost or some of the biggest perpetrators of this dastardly thing hoisted upon the world today in the name of Jesus Christ because they backed him up. As long as they could see a mirror or some little system or some program going down the road that looked good, they said, that's it, because they applied business rules to God's Word. Finney made the same mistake. He said, have a revival any time you want by applying rules. That's a lie. If that were the case, then how come Paul couldn't go to Asia on his own and get a revival? God said, no, Macedonia. I don't care what the theologians say. I heard from a prophet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Who wrote the book, the theologian, the prophet? Yes, sir, amen. We've gotten off the beaten track. So, the power will come, and this is exactly what Brother Branham said, when the bride becomes one with the Word, thus saith the Lord will be found in her. And the mighty works she'll do. Right? Now, if I preach to you one thing, then contrary to what he taught, then I'm a liar.
Amen.
But I haven't done that. I showed you what the Word says. And that's true. Say, well, Brother Bailey, are you such a fellow that you would check out what the prophet says? You bet your life I'm such a fellow. When the pillar of fire appeared in the room for those 7 days and he opened the seven seals, he told us he went right to the Bible and checked out what the pillar of fire said. I wasn't there for any pillar of fire. I just saw William Branham. I believe he saw the pillar of fire, so I take my Bible and check it out too. And I say, is Revelation really the power he said it was? Is that the dynamism of the church? I look up in my Bible and there it is. I find I don't rejoice when they take my goods and turn the other cheek. I found out why. I don't have a revelation. Well, Brother Dale just isn't a psychiatrist, psychologist. Get a hold of yourself. Oh, sure, get a hold of myself. Sooner somebody else got a hold of me now. Why, my goodness, if we can get where God says we can get on the sheer force of discipline, who needs God? Huh? He would have lied in his words that I'm here to help you. He should have said, look, I'm here to tell you. Didn't just say that. That's just part of it. Well, that's Revelation. All right. Let's take a little while now. What time we got left? In getting into the rapture, as Brother Branham taught us in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we ask you again to help us this morning through the Spirit of Christ, not, Lord, to be hard on anybody, and not, oh God, even be hard on ourselves, but, Lord, anything to be hard on those principles which are lies, which one day, Lord, will come under your scrutiny, and it's going to be a terrible day for those who believe and love the lie. My God, I don't want to be critical of people like that. I want to be sorry for them and help them the best I can. But help me, Lord, and all of us this morning be so firm against it that not under any consideration will we ever give way to be a part of anything but what is your word 100% infallible. Help us, Lord, today to have no thoughts and ideas of our own, but just what your word said, and to go all the way with it as we know that it'll go all the way with us and present us spotless before your throne. Give us power in this life by that word. We know it will. Because you said if any man heard your word and obeyed that word, then he would be like a house built upon a rock, and no matter what came against it, that house would not fall. But Lord, we see today houses falling on every side. People quivering inside and out, Lord, seem to be taken in this great dilemma. And we know, Lord, that your word is never changed, for you said there remaineth the rest unto the children of man, unto the children of God. That rest of faith in the Holy Ghost, Lord. You never took that away. We don't believe that's the millennium, not for 1 minute. We believe that's right today. And Lord, your people are hungering for it. They're looking for it. Oh, God, let the lamps this morning be full of oil. Every lamp in this place full of oil, Lord God. And demonstrating through revelation that these are the lamps of God, because they'll produce that very word in the very condition that word must be produced in. Lord, I know that's the truth. And I believe you heard my prayer. God, we're going on. We believe we are. We're going to make it through Christ, who loved us and gave himself for it. We read this and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so with so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, prevenio, go before. In other words, we won't get there ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend him with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, this is the scripture that God has set forth in his word, giving us the detailed account of the rapture, the catching away of the people of God, both those that are in the grave and those that are alive, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to meet them in the air. Now, many would say, is not this just part of the account? Is not 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, also a part? Not really. You see, the question that was asked from the Thessalonians of Paul in this delineation here in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians is, what is going to take place as far as Christ gathering his own elect? And Paul answers the question. But when you're dealing with 1 Corinthians 15, the question is this. Is there a resurrection? Most assuredly. What is a resurrection? A resurrection is when bodies that have been corrupted come out of the grave. Bodies lying there for centuries that have turned back to the gases, even. And the very most basic elements, because some were burned in fiery furnaces and perhaps not even their ash was found. People might have been completely assimilated by the atomic bomb. And they have just gone back to eat not even a vapor or nothingness. As science says, when the atomic bomb is through, they used to think there was no such thing as annihilation, but there is, because there's a nothingness left. They don't understand it. Well, now, what about those people coming out of the grave? Yes, they'll come out with new bodies. Now, but because it is corruption, putting on incorruption, well, just a minute now. Is this a fact then that when before the Lord comes, in order to gather people, there'll be a day when everybody on this earth will die and every body will corrupt, and there'll be a period of time go by so God can perform a resurrection? Oh, he said, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. There will come a time when God will come for his own. And there will be people standing upon earth that won't die and their bodies corrupt. But those standing bodies will put on the same thing that the dead bodies put on as they come up. See? Now that is why 1 Corinthians 15 is not the same as 1 Thessalonians 4. Because the questions are two different questions. See? 1 Thessalonians is the rapture. Now, notice it again. He said here, for this we say unto you, thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto that coming, we will not be caught up in advance of those that are in the grave. The actual fact of the matter is this, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, go back now to 1 Corinthians 15, shall be changed in the atom. See? Then all shall rise and be gathered together in one place in the air, not on any one place in earth. in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. Now, Paul, in teaching his people on the rapture, states here that the rapture is a threefold event. It has three separate phases. It is not a split-second, three-manifested affair, as is Godhead, who is one person manifesting in three offices. But what takes place here, that it has its final culmination in sitting down at the table of the Lord in the supper, is a series of events. One, two, three. Of which the first part is the putting in motion, yes, of the people on earth. You will notice the scripture says here, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He is descending. He does not even come to earth. He is not visible upon earth. He is not seen by anybody except the elect bride who meet him in the air. For he said, this world shall see me no more. They won't either. When he comes, they'll only see the sign that's coming, the Son of Man. They'll only see a blaze of glory, and he'll appear only to 144,000 on the mount when he comes to the Jews. 144,000 people. Because Scripture doesn't lie. But it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The word shout here has always been translated in our minds to mean a loud noise. But according to the original word study in the Greek or the Aramaic, you will find that it does not refer to a noise whatsoever. Never has and never will. But it's the word klusma, used only here once in the New Testament, once in the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament in Greek. And it is actually derived from the word to put in motion by the word of command. So therefore the shout is word. And it puts the people who hear the shout in motion. What motion? Momentum to race. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Where did he get his momentum? He was a prophet. So the word here is never, never, never used of a loud noise. And it is not used just to gain attention. It is therefore for instruction. It is the cry of incitement or urging on. It is not just the cry to assemble, not just the cry to get in motion, but it's the cry to keep them moving until they've moved right up. So that's what it says. No, I don't care what your language and my language says, this is what it says. It therefore must be intelligible in order to give instruction to assemble, and to move and keep moving in a certain direction. And this will not be one word. Impossible. This word is used in the world of the classics, the classical Greek, to depict the man, the coxswain who sits in the boat, and he gives the time, T-I-M-E, to the rower. In other words, this gets them in step in unison. But if there were a person to come today, or if Christ were to come to get us in time, he would first of all have to get us in tune with the time in which we live. Because if we tried to get in step for a rapture, which is not taking place, we might be in difficulty. We'd try to rise by our own momentum, and we would turn up like the Seventh-day Adventist who climbed on a mountain and couldn't find him. The Cherub of Light in Canada who went to a cave and couldn't find him. And like I think there could be a bunch of people out west who may find themselves in the same unscriptural predicament. They could be in the east too. Especially Christ saying no man knows the day and the hour. Watch. what kind of time God may be putting his people into. True. In the Septuagint, in Proverbs 30:27, it says, the locusts, at the word of command, march in ranks. You think one word would do it? No. A general doesn't take an army, then gives a word of command, then deserts to the back and says, let's forget it. He has it all mapped out, even as the Bible said, no man, no king goes to warfare, except he counts the whole cost in case he makes a fool of himself. This is the same here. It is something which brings us to a successful conclusion. It has to, or this is not the voice of the first phase of the rapture. Also, the Scripture does not say that this is the actual voice of the Lord. Now that's a stumbler. But I'm sorry, I didn't write the book. And I didn't write it in Greek, and I didn't write it in Aramaic. You see, we have our own understanding of our own language. And if we said a certain thing, we would hope that people would understand it because of our language. Rest assured, as you know, Christ did not have this scripture written in German. So we're going to go like Joseph Smith and find a bunch of gold plates and write them off, you know, although he had an interpreter too. The angel Moroni or Bologna or something he had. Certainly, something was wrong somewhere. He didn't have the Bible written in English so that we could dig it up and find it. He had the Word of God written in a basic language of two languages, Aramaic and the Greek. I have no doubt it was in both. Research has shown that fully. No problem. And since the Bible depends upon revelation, you don't need to worry about the rule. But in the original, this is not the voice of Jesus. That's right. It is not his actual voice, though it is the Lord himself descending. It is not the voice of Jesus. Wonder how we could work this out in Scripture. Let's just see if I've got something to stand on here. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah, because people are so hard-headed, they don't believe anything even when it is the truth. Not you. You wouldn't be here this morning if you were hard-headed. You're soft-hearted. Maybe soft-headed, too, to come and hear me preach. That's nice. That's scriptural. My little child. Genesis, the third... Let me see what I want here. Oh, let's see here. Genesis 18, I think, what I want here. 21 to 22. I will go down now. God speaking to Abraham, and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood to the Lord. He never went to Sodom. But he said, I'm going down. You look up in the Greek, you'll find that the word go down is the very same word meaning descend. The word come down is the very same word meaning descend. Now God says, I'm going to go down to Sodom, and I'm going to see if the cry is what has come up to me by investigation. But he stayed with Abraham. Two angels went down to Sodom. But did God go down? Sure. By two angels. And as I said last night, you will notice that this is the present day picture. That the man who stayed with Abraham was up there in the hill country. Abraham rest and relaxing too, while old Lot down there vexing his soul in Sodom had two visitors that the world heard all about. But you don't hear one thing about God going down there. Of course, God didn't go down. The messenger of God for this age never went down to Sodom. He went with the elect. But two messengers went down to America here, the world famous name. They've gone around the world. They went to Sodom trying to call out the people, but they wouldn't listen. All right, let's go to the book of Exodus. We go to the 11th chapter of Exodus, 10th chapter in James. Verse 11, I believe, if I've got this down right. No, don't want that one there. God speaking again of going down. Let's take a look at Exodus 11. He mentions here, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. Thought of going down again. I'm looking for a verse here, and I just can't seem to get it now, but it's in here. Let me just check it out. Verse Exodus 3. It must be about the third chapter. Yes, the third chapter. Notice what he says in verse 8. First start with 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing milk and honey, and so on. Verse 10, now come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. Now notice, God said, I have descended, but I'm sending you, and you're going to talk. And we see here what this is all about in 1 Thessalonians 4, because the scripture says, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the word, but it's not his voice. Therefore, how is he doing it? He is going to have to do it as he's always done it, as starting with Moses and every prophet.
See?
For it's the voice of the Lord, even as it says in David, the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David. So, in this day of the rapture, the initial step is wherein God speaks to his people in the last day, just before he comes, by the mouth of a servant. He has to be a prophet because he feels the prophet. And that one, in bringing us a word from the Lord, will start the bride in motion. Now, is this scriptural? Let's go to the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, verse 7, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, we get confused here because many of us think this is an angel with a trumpet because the word says sound, but it's not so. This is not an angel with a trumpet, because in chapter 9, verse 13, the sixth angel who sounds a trumpet starts something in heaven that ends upon earth, which is a cataclysm. Then jump over to chapter 11, the 15th verse. The seventh angel sounds, which also sounds in heaven, and is the end of the seven trumpets. So there's not six trumpets and a half. That wouldn't make seven anyway. The trumpet of in heaven, number six and number seven, have nothing to do with verse 7 of chapter 10 of Revelation. It says here, in the days of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God is finished. Now notice, verse 13 of 9 and verse 15 of 11 is an instant. It's a noise. It's a blast on a trumpet. It takes place in a flash. But this does not take place in a flash. It takes days, D-A-Y-S. He's not blowing a trumpet. How do I know? Because the scripture says, in the days of the voice. Has your voice got a sound? Certainly it sounds. What is he doing? Talking.
What's he talking? The Word of God. What Word of God? The mysteries of God will be finished. They'll be brought to the supreme peak. The Word will be revealed. What Word? The very Word that God has declared to all of His prophets. Now, notice again. The Lord Himself descend from heaven with the voice of the prophet, revealing in the last days the revelations, the mysteries, to be all wound up. Because remember, when the bride goes, the end of the ages have come upon her. This is what God was waiting for. Not the second resurrection, but this. This is the crown. This is the climax. This is the peak. This is it. Of all ages, will mean that He'll bring those with Him that are there to meet those that aren't there. This is it. This is what this man will be doing. Now, if this is the Lord descending in this method, why in the world does He say the Lord Himself is doing it by the voice of this man? Well, that's good thinking. Let's find out. We'll go to the book of John, the 6th chapter. I say, I don't care if anybody accepts this. Now, this is what I see. Not that I don't care in the sense this is offhand and facetious. I mean to say, what everybody else may believe, I am not responsible. This is what I see and believe in the Word of God. Let's see now. Let's just take one verse first of all in John 3. And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down, the very same word descend of heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Don't try to figure that out. But it makes one God clear, really. Now, let's go to John 6, 33. For the bread of God is He which cometh down or descends from heaven and giveth life to the world. 38. For I descended from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. 41. The Jews murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which descended from heaven. Verse 50. This is the bread which came descended from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. 51. I am the living bread which descended from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall eat live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And 58. This is the bread which descended from heaven, not that your fathers ate. Now, you'll notice that each of these times that Jesus spoke of Himself as descending, and having descended, it was as bread to the people. What is the bread today? It is the manna, or the bread from heaven, which is God descending by the Word, because God is revealed by the Word. Amen. I'm not preaching over your head, am I? I like your silence so you can figure what I'm saying, but on the other hand, sometimes silence can become oppressive. But if you show that by your faces you're getting it, that'll take care of it. Now listen, showed you. 1 Samuel 3:21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. In other words, God had formerly appeared to Samuel already. For the Lord revealed Himself or appeared to Samuel in Shiloh by the Word of the Lord. God is the Word. The Word is God. So therefore, the revealed Word is God revealed. And the Lord descending from heaven is coming down by the Word revealed by the prophet in the voice of a prophet. Now that will clinch it if anybody's got any understanding. Huh? Certainly it is. It's the manna for this age, which is the message of the 7th-8th prophet, because every age has a messenger. Oh, I know the world doesn't like that. The church doesn't like it. They are so mixed up. They don't know that God has a theocracy with a gradation under Him. God sits on the throne with the cherubim next, and then what is there? There's the seraphim and the rest of them down, and angels carry out and so on. Then when He comes upon earth, He sits with the bride, and under Him, then under the bride will come the 144,000 eunuchs, and under them will be those coming up in the second resurrection. It's gradation. And they say, oh, we're all equal, hell, we all the same. Lord, you all shut up and read your Bible. Amen. God's not a democracy. Read it the way it's written. Certainly, tells you right here. Now, this one brings the word. Now let us see if this is exactly what we're saying. We go again to the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter, and you will notice the preface in verses 1 to 6. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow on his head. His face as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot on the earth, cried with a loud voice when a lion roared. When he cried, seven thunders uttered the voices. When the seven thunders uttered the voice, I was about to write. And I heard a voice in heaven saying, unto me, seal up those things with seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lift up his hand to heaven, swear by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that therein are, the earth, the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that time should be no longer delayed. Notice, it doesn't say that time would run out at that moment, but it says whatever has started will continue to roll until it's over. That's why I said this man coming puts the bride in step. He gets her in motion for the final motion, which is up. It's because when you rise, you're not in step. How can you tread here? You get in step down here. See? All right. It says at this time that there is going to be at the end time when time runs out. This is the rock carved without hands from the mountain that begins to roll. Certainly. Got to be. That's when time runs out. The end of, this is when the time the Gentiles come. Jerusalem no longer trodden down. But the Gentiles, signifying times run out. Right? Certainly, run out for the Gentiles. Now, notice. What is this angel? He is a messenger from heaven. This in verse 7 is a messenger on earth. This one up here is only voice he's got is thunder. And this one down here is declaring the mystery. They're both on earth. Now notice. He came from heaven clothed with the cloud. Behold, he cometh with clouds. A rainbow is on his head. Who has the rainbow? Nobody but Jesus Christ. Seven colors in the rainbow. Seven contracted covenants of Jehovah God, seven compound titles with man. Who ever heard more preaching about Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jehovah the old being, Jesus the new, than you heard in the last 10, 12 years? Face is the sun. Feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his foot on sea and on earth. Who has heaven dethroned earth his footstool but Jesus? Who cries with a loud voice as a lion, but the lion of the tribe of Judah? Who has the voice of thunder? And the number of completion, number 7. Seven thunders, seventh age, seventh messenger, God doing everything in 7. Well, you say, what about the three, the voice, and then the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel trumpet of God? That's perfection, that's God himself. Sure. Follow me? All right. Now, and this angel lift up his hand to heaven and swore by God. Nobody can swear by God but God. Amen. You don't even dare swear, lift up your hand, just say, I'm going to go to town tomorrow. You say, if God lets me go to town, I'll go to town. Nobody swears by hair and head or anything else. You haven't got the power. Only God can swear by God. So therefore, this has to be a special visitation of God. And notice how it is that he is not here manifesting as showing his hands and his feet, but he is symbolized here as the great God of heaven, the great sovereign God. Of heaven my throne, earth is my footstool. And he's visiting the people through the thunder, through his voice. But God doesn't use his own voice. It's not his shout being his own throat. It is somebody else. It is a prophet. It has to be because John sealed this up. So therefore another prophet's got to come on the scene. So according to Scripture, there'll be a prophet appear at the end of the seventh age, at the end of the church ages. That's the time by a special visitation God Himself, through special visitation, will descend. But I told you last night already, if you read the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, it says, who is he that ascended but he that descended? And you read it, you think he came down and went up, but read it the way it's written. He came down, he went up, he came down. And he's here right now as the Holy Ghost. You've got the same thing here, a visitation, a supernatural visitation, where God appears and he actually reveals himself to the people by the word that he is the God with the rainbow, the covenant-speaking God, keeping God, that the pillar of fire, the open book and all, is the opening of the seals by the prophet, the seven seals or the seven mysteries contained in the thunders and the seven seals, revealed by the prophet. Everything is exactly what he said would take place. Now, the next thing arises, if there's going to be a prophet like this, and it's actually the Lord himself, what kind of a man do we expect to have in this last day? I'm glad you asked the question. Like when you asked me to play the piano, I just brought my piano along in case. So turn to Luke 17. Oh, yes, and start at verse 20. Notice, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, notice those words, demanded. Oh, that attitude is so good. Isn't that a lovely Christian attitude? The same spirit today. We're going to get in that old clothes closet, lock the door, and going to make God give me a gift. That's gone. I don't know the answer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, we had that same rotten spirit. That's not kidder, Dad. Huh? Certainly. Thank God it didn't work. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. He lifted me a whole lot higher than I thought he had to. That's always encouraging too.
He was the man when the kingdom of God should come, he threw him a curve. Told the truth, it threw him a curve. The kingdom of God cometh and you won't see it.
That's what he meant. Sure, true, true. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is among you. There's no king without a king. And the king stood there, the creator. He had his kingdom with him. Don't worry, it's all wrapped in him. And he was there. But he threw them a curve, so he had to straighten out his disciples because they heard him. So, he said, come over here, I want to talk to you. The days will come when you shall desire. Now listen carefully and get this, because don't read it the way you think you see it. Read it the way it is written. And check it out to see if it happens. See, oh, I believe the Word of God. Hallelujah, that was the Word of God. That's right, I believe the whole thing. Good, good, good. Oh, sure, I believe there's $1 million down there in the bank too, in Rockefeller owned the business, just trying to get my hands on it. Sure, I believe there's even a crater on the moon. That's so, there's a crater on the moon. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let's keep reading. Stop and think. This is the Word of God. Concerning the end time, he said, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days, and say, oh, that's wonderful, I can read that. That means I'm going to want to see Jesus one of these days. It doesn't say that. It doesn't read that way. I want to see Jesus one of these days. It says you'll desire to see one of his days. I want to see Lee Dale. No, you want to see one of my keys, maybe. One of my pens. That's not Lee Dale, that's one of his pens. Sure. There's a big difference. Doesn't say you want to see him, see one of his days.
And it doesn't say you'll not see him. You'll not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after the following. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shines the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now that's D-A-Y. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The days of the Son of Man, rather. Now watch, please. The question arose. When is this kingdom going to come? When will the Son of David sit upon the throne? And he says here, There will come a time before this one sits upon the throne that the people involved in the end time will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. Why do I know? Because the disciples will not be here at the time when the kingdom comes to this earth. They'll be brought back with him. But they will not be here in the days preceding. They'll be dead and gone. This is not a message to the disciples. This is a message to this day. And I want to show you why it is. Because you can't find one place in Scripture where any of the apostles looked for one of the days of Jesus. They didn't. When he was crucified, they said, we thought he was the real one. Sorry. They went off fishing. And after he came back and they got the revelation given to him by giving open their hearts perfect, open their understanding by the Holy Spirit. Then they waited at Pentecost, got the revelation, and Peter said he's not coming until such a time as they say, pooey, where is he coming? Oh my, since the Father fell asleep and I'm getting tired too. There's been nothing about his coming. So where did he get that nonsense that the disciples might have gone around looking for one of his days? What about this fact of Paul being so upset that the Spirit of God upon him as much he was looking for Christ to come around the corner? He said, watch it. Watch either a letter or an expression or a spirit. He's not coming until the man of sin be revealed. Falling away then. Then don't tell me they were looking for Christ to come being like this, bang like that. Oh, he's going to come. He's going to come. Oh, no, brother, sister. Don't give me that hogwash. I got too much of that when I went 3 months to a Bible seminary and listened to a bunch of preachers. Never happened. But notice, 26, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of days of the Son of Man. So, now how do you read that? Well, I read it just like I was taught, just like I read for years. Oh, there's a sodomite condition coming on the earth. Oh, there's a terrible time of degradation of people turning from God. And oh, there's a terrible, fantastic time of marriage and divorce. And oh, how sin is going to be rampant. And oh, how people are going to turn from God. Blah, 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 blah. And boom, suddenly he'll come out of the heaven. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that at all. It says there's going to be a time like the days of Noah. Then at the same time, there'll be a repeat of the days of Jesus. Because that's what it says. Now it says at that time. Those, now listen carefully here. Because I don't care if this is on tape and goes from New York to California and Portland, Oregon, down to Key West or any place else. Hear me. And get back to verse 22. It says they're going to desire to see one of those days and they won't see it. That these days will come and they will go. G-O. Go, go, gone. Finished. And you'll still want to see some great big manifestation again and you won't because the next thing is the blinding flash. In the meantime, a secret rapture. I hope it's on tape. I'll publish it in the book if you like. I'm sticking with the Word of God. Amen. Not with what people say, but what the Word says. Amen. It says these days would repeat. The days of the Son of Man, when he trod this earth with a superlative ministry, with an infallible proof, with the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. If Jesus Christ himself manifest in flesh, he himself was here, and they crucified him, don't think for 1 minute that when his days appear, they won't crucify that too. Turn it down flat. How will he be revealed? By the prophet ministering with the same ministry of Jesus Christ. If you don't think Brother Branham was aware of that, read again Daniel 70th week and you'll find it 3 times in 3 places. That the ministry of Christ has returned to this earth. Because that's what it means here exactly, to have the days return, is what Jesus produced on earth would come back and be here for days.
And it's in days of the voice that he brings out God revealed in the Word.
Yes. That's what it says. 27. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone on him and destroyed them all, even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Alright, now there you are. What about that one? It says, even thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's merely a verse of conclusion. Jesus has already laid it out, and he said, the kingdom of God is coming. David's throne will be set up, but I'm going to tell you, people will not even see the reality of it. They're going to miss it just like these Pharisees. Now I want to warn you. He said, my days are going to repeat upon earth just like the days of Noah. It's going to be a complete repeat. And then those days are going to stop, and the people must not look for any more. The next thing, as far as I am coming, it'll be my actual coming to earth as lightning. Remember, the rapture does not take ding, 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 or a split second. It is a process, whereas Christ descending to earth is suddenly out of the heavens upon the white horse with his army sword going out of his mouth, destroying those that come against his own. But he comes as the word revealed in the mouth of the prophet, and the prophet is vindicated by his ministry. And it's a Son of Man ministry, which is a prophetic ministry. It is not Son of David, and it is not Son of God. It is Son of Man. And even thus he's saying, this is the way it's going to be. Not, boom, out of heaven, suddenly a great big shout and a blinding light, hallelujah, we're gone. It's a process which takes days and days. And when the prophet was taken, that ended. The message was sealed, it was all open. The next thing is when I'll preach on the manifestation of God's promises in flesh. I haven't got time today. I could preach maybe 8 hours. I could actually 6 to 8 hours. We take the whole thing just step by step. We don't need to do that. Just take different sermons. Now listen. In this day, when God sends his Spirit, specially manifested, so that the prophet is vindicated. You see, he's indicating the word, but vindicated by God so that people will listen or be condemned. Because remember, the signs of God have a voice. There is no sound given which doesn't have a meaning. And remember, you learn more from the eye than you do from the ear. So therefore, the sign should have attracted him and put him right. But even as every prophet of God has been turned down, this man also must be turned down, because the scripture said, behold, I send them apostles and prophets. Some of them they shall kill, others they shall persecute. That's the word. Now, at the time when this man comes vindicated from God, the devil will do a prime thing which is allowed by God. And that is, he, the spirit, in the ending of those who are not in the bride, will be very close to the spirit of those in the bride in the last day messenger. Notice in verse 23 of Matthew 24. Now this is the end time. If any man shall say, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there must arise false Christ and false prophets. Now, watch here in Scripture. For there shall positively arise false Christ. What is Christ? Anointed one. There shall arise false anointed ones. Now, the word and here is not a conjunction. It is K-A-I. And it should be translated even. There shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. Don't use the word false. Because a lie is a false thing, but we want to pin it down. You can have a lot of things that are false. And they tell a lie, but the word lie is the root. Even lying prophets. What does a lying prophet do? He goes against the word. He tells what the word doesn't say. And shall show great signs and wonders. And here again, don't let your mind trick you. Oh, see, this mind is very tricky. I know some of the tricks, you see, because I've been through them. I read it over here. It says here in 2 Thessalonians, And in verse 9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, see? Let no man deceive you, and so on. Mr. Iniquity already works, and so on, see? And they that believe, that do they that might be damned, who believe not the truth, for this cause God will send them a strong delusion. When? At the end time. So you see, we hook Matthew 24 to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, we used to read it this way. Oh, well, look at that. Here's the very same thing he says in Thessalonians. There'll arise false Christ. I don't know what that means, really. But, did people claim to be Jesus, that's it. And false prophets. Oh, there's two bunches, false prophets too. And they'll show great lying signs and wonders. Oh, tricky. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that. We thought it did, didn't we? We read it that way because we read about Antichrist and false prophets, and we read, you know, the Revelation. We thought, oh, this is it. Why, that's the very same thing. It's not the very same thing at all. This is before that. This is when there will be people with a genuine anointing, genuine signs and wonders, because that's what they are. It doesn't say they're lies, so they're genuine. Done by the power of God. And they're off that word. That's right, they're lying prophets. You say, my, God wouldn't do that? Why, he warned them. In either Deuteronomy 13 or 18, I don't know which chapter, it's one of them, he said, if a man comes among you, and he has a vision, a dream, and a sign that comes to pass, you listen to that man. I've sent it. But he also said, if there come among you a man with a dream or a sign and a wonder, and it come to pass, and he leads you from me, get rid of him, because I sent him to test you. Now what about that? You mean God would send somebody, give him a genuine ministry, and the man be a phony? Absolutely. What happened the day when God said, how are we going to entice Ahab to destruction to fulfill my word? To fulfill his word that he said, Ahab's got to die, the dog's going to lick his blood. How am I going to get this fulfilled, said God? I got to entice the fellow, got to get him on a battlefield, got to get his bloodshed, and a lying spirit. And he said, that guy'll just be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophet. Why, he said, Sonny, pat him on the head. He said, you got the right, you go on down there and take care of it. Now, I talk this way to dramatize it, to just make the thing really get into you. Because God sent him. What about Judas? Was he a devil? Scripture said one of you is Diabolus. That's right, John 6:70. Have I not chosen you 12? God said, have I not chosen? Have I not elected you 12? Actually, not election now in the sense of bride. But haven't I actually picked you out, knowing you even before the foundation of the world? Haven't I got this laid out? Weren't you my choice? Didn't I bring you in here by sovereign will? And one of you is the devil, one of you is Diabolus. But the scripture said Judas had the same ministry as Peter had. Because he gave the 12 power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and they all came back rejoicing. And said, my, we had a wonderful time. Even devils were subject. He said, rejoice not because devils were subject, but rejoice because your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, showing that Judas did not have his name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but merely in the Book of Life. And his name was taken out, just like multitudes had their name taken out when they crucified him. In Psalm 69 says, take their names out of the book. And that's exactly what's going to happen again in this day. Shuck. The shuck will have the name taken out. Now notice, the two spirits will be so close that the only ones who cannot be deceived are the elect. And notice, the word elect in the Bible is not simply what God chooses, it's those who come out by the word. They aren't out by the word, they're not out by anything. Not by feeling, not because some preacher preached a lovely sermon on dear old mother and how she's weeping and praying that you might get there. No, sir, because he preached the word. Why? Because this prophet has the word for the day, and it takes him out, puts him in step in order to bring him higher. This is then the end time when there will be these spirits, these other spirits, and they will be there to deceive the people, but the very elect will not be deceived. Now, I won't take more time on the miracles and all, because that is self-evident what I said. Now, this prophet mentioned in the New Testament, Revelation, is the same one mentioned in Malachi, the fourth chapter. Malachi 4.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children of the fathers and the heart of the children, the hearts of the father's children, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to children and the heart of the children of the fathers, that reverse it, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, let us see when part of that took place. In Luke 1, chapter verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. That's what he said he'd do. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he leaves out the part of the children turning to the fathers, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people for the Lord. Now notice what this man's doing here, the Elijah spirit. The Elijah spirit here in John, fulfilling, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, took place before the first coming of Christ. And verse 16 explains it with 17 giving full illumination. And many, not all, but the many, the elect of God, of Israel, shall he turn to the Lord their God, even by going before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah, though he didn't do one miracle. Why? Because Christ the miracle worker was going to be here to vindicate this with John. But Christ will not vindicate the prophet the last day appearing when he's coming. That'll be Mount of Olives. Too late. The ministry of the prophet in this day must be so great to prove that he has the right to turn the hearts of the children to the Father. You follow what I said there? You see the reason why John didn't have to do a miracle? He didn't need any power. Christ came following. See? But in this day, it's a secret rapture. So therefore, the miracle ministry precedes the word. Now notice. Even he shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That tells you what it is. Many of the children of Israel, the many, shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now, what is the reason for him turning the hearts of the father's children? What is it? The disobedience to the wisdom of the just. Who's the just? God. What's the wisdom? The word. To what end? To make a people ready. If they were only made ready to see Christ by the word, then they're only made ready to see Christ now by the same word. I'll prove it to you. What does it mean to turn the hearts of children of the Father? We've got the answer for it. Go to the book of Acts. Remember, the Bible is the book we go to. Acts, the third chapter. As soon as we get our pages unruffled here. Verse 25. You are the children of the prophets. If you're children of the prophets, who's your father? The prophets. Why? Because you were in that word. That's right. When the last day prophet opened the seven seals for it, and he showed the book of redemption, we saw our names by faith in that book. We saw ourselves. What doing? Having the heart turned to the Father, having our understanding open to what the prophet said. Because he was going to reveal the mystery from serpent seed to the prophet of the latter rain. You are children of the prophet. You're what the prophet said was coming. I hope you caught that, but I aren't going to tip my hand because that's another sermon. And the covenant God made with Abraham, our father, Saint Abraham, and thy seed shall all children of the earth be blessed. Turning the hearts of the children to the fathers is bringing the people back to the word where their faith is based, and so therefore the heart of faith will be able to express, thus saith the Lord, which is the fear in the bride. That is in the end time. So, what is it? When the Lord descends, remember the shout. I'm getting through in good time, too.
the Lord descending from heaven with a shout. It is the Lord Himself bringing His word. He calls it descending, coming down, sending His prophet in order to bring the word of God to the people, which the Holy Spirit quickens to them, giving them revelation and understanding to receive it, believe it, and they thereby get in step. Their hearts are now turned back in faith in order to get them in motion, the step, getting ready for the motion of God. That's the period of time. That prophet, according to Scripture, will come and go. Do you know that old brother Bosworth told me in Florida back in 1953, and Brother Branham came down there at the will of God. You hear it on tape? It was back in that day of the fall of 52, I believe it was, or the spring of 52, I can't remember. See, we had prophets in our church, and I myself prophesied and heard myself say, "Behold, I send my prophet out of the north, and he shall teach the people the things they ought to know." And I said, "I don't know any prophet." And I didn't. I didn't know Brother Branham. I'd seen him. I didn't know he was a prophet. One day a man came by my way and said, "Would you like to know Brother Branham?" I said, "Would a cat like a dish of cream?" "Man, I sure would. How am I going to what so what?" "Everybody would like to meet him." But he said, "My bosom friend Wallace Cobble will take you to him, because he's the bosom friend of Brother Branham." I jump in the car. Away we go. I didn't know Brother Branham might not be home, but he's home. He said, "Sure, I want to see you." And he said, "Brother Bill, I'm going to come and give you a meeting in Florida." I thought, all great men talk that way. He'll be there in the next 47 years from now if he ever comes. Forget it. You know, I just thought he was polite, because if you're a great person, you're polite and sweet, sure, you'd like to go, but who's going to go? Everybody wants it, so who am I? So one day the phone rings, and Brother Bob said, "Brother Bill." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Brother Bob," said, "Well," I said, "praise the Lord." I was just tickled like a kid that's just getting a real fancy gift. Hear from Brother Bosworth, the man whose book I'd read, didn't even know he was around, living or anything else. I was flabbergasted, delighted. Well, he said, "The reason I called, after I got through being so surprised and expected, well, I called you because Brother Branham wants to know when you wanted to come." I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Brother Branham wants to know when you want him to come. You're holding him up." Oh, I said, "Brother, let me get a building and I'll phone you back." And right on tape, he said, "God sent me here to teach the people things you ought to know." That prophet. Now, Brother Blosser said, "Brother Dale, I prayed for 40 years for the ministry of Christ, not Christ, but the ministry of Christ to return to this earth." And there it is in that man. I want to ask you one question. Can you pray successfully as a true Christian apart from that word? No. Because the Bible says, "Who is he that set this to come to pass if the Lord has not commanded it?" I never knew it was in the Bible that a man could pray for the ministry of Christ to return, but I showed you right in the book of Luke. The ministry of Christ returns, but not him. And that is his descent with that word. And as he was known as the Messiah, because he could read the hearts of men, even so, and was turned down to say he's a cheap fortune teller. Anybody can do that. Why, he's Beelzebub. So my goodness. But that's all he did. Well, they said, "Do us another sign." He said, "You wouldn't believe anyway." No, he's wasting the time. That same Spirit of Christ came back in a man, and he told them their name, and he read their heart. And they said, "Well, that's very amazing, but you know, it's just too bad he doesn't believe like us, because we're right." They couldn't produce anything. And those that did produce all went to the golden calf. Well, I want to tell you, that golden calf can sure make a lot of noise. He makes more noise than God. Because when God spoke through the prophet, nobody wanted to listen, but the golden calf made them all listen. And even some of my dearest friends said, "Yeah, but Brother Branham didn't have a program." And you know, Brother Branham, you know, didn't he sort of change it toward the end, and he began to think different? No, I'll go right back to the first sermon Bill ever preached. You'll see it all down there. The only thing he ever changed where he got one or two little details out of line. But the basic was all there, because God had to reveal step by step, line upon line, till perfect light had come to the man. But Daddy Boz was spotty. He said, "That's what I prayed for 40 years. I remember how it was that, as I said the other night, that here was Simeon and Anna. They were in the temple. Oh, the Pharisees were looking for Christ to come, their Messiah to come. Oh, he'd go to the temple, you know, and he'd say, 'Here I am.' He'd have a great big sword and army, and he'd take over, because they had it all figured out their way. But it wasn't God's way. But here they had it all their way figured out, and Anna and Simeon come in, and they see a little tiny baby. And they said, 'Hallelujah, Lord, I've seen the salvation. We can go home and rest now.'"
Was it in the Bible? A virgin shall bear a child. But they didn't know that was Messiah. They had it all figured wrong. Right there in the book of Luke it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, not coming but the days. Brother, sister, get this straight. Remember the scripture says in Thessalonians, he shall be revealed in heaven, taking destruction with his angels and flaming fire. But it does not say that in the gospel. He'll be revealed by the word in the one place. And you'll see him. And those that see him revealed by the word are the only ones that will be in that branch.
People say, well, Brother Phil, I don't have to believe Brother Branham. You don't? That'd be the problem.
That's strange. Then why believe any of it?
The Lord himself descending to put us in motion depends upon somebody's not his voice, it says right in the book here.
Oh, they've got their Greek scholars.
I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read that their Greek scholar said they have cut their own throats on Judgment Day. Because they said it knowing what it was said, and yet they did not look for someone to appear on the scene.
Why didn't they take time to find how the Lord himself could come down and send another man? He said, I've come down to the reach of. Go on, Moses.
I'm descending. Go on, Brother Branham.
It says it's sacrilegious or something against the word of God. I'll just have to bear my punishment in Judgment Day because I know nothing else. But I believe I brought it conclusively and showed. What is there? There are three steps to the rapture. And the first one is a limited, though extended, period of time. Now, brother, sister, let's face this thing. It's almost over. It says the days would end, according to Revelation 10. And it said our time was over when Jerusalem was no longer trodden down. It's no longer trodden down. If the prophet was supposed to come, Elijah, then he must have already come and we missed him, just like John the Baptist, because it's over. Don't tell me it's not over. It's over. Don't tell me the times the Gentiles are still going on. It's not going on. It's over. There's only one thing going on for little teeny bit. And that is the extended time of grace to the fullness of the Gentiles until the Mosque of Omar is leveled. And that's gone. Why do I preach this way? Because I want it to be 100% sold, that's why. You can't be sold on what Brother Branham taught and have your mind full of the old shuck. And the scholars, the theologians, and those that didn't know. The Lord himself descends. He's already started. The next thing is the voice of the archangel. Amen. The Lord bless you. I hope this answered some questions rather than compounded any. I hope this shed some illumination to let you know that God could descend just what he said. It's his language. Just like when he said, let us make man in our image. He did not say, let us make man in our images. Our image. The triune God, one God, a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all in one. One God, manifested in three ways. Our image. Plural our, singular image. How many gods? One. Is he coming? Yes, that same one is coming, but he already came to the bride by the word. Revealed. To turn your hearts back. What is the word? You know what it is now. And faith cometh by hearing. Amen. That's right. Be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know today that our words could sound just as strange to ears as the words that we heard others say to us, and yet they were true. So baffling, Lord, as when they spoke to me years ago, and they said, Son, how many kinds of eternal life are there? And I knew the answer, just one. They said, then how can a sinner go to hell and suffer eternally? And I didn't have the answer. I've had puzzlement and wondering. I've been faced with it. I had to face up. It just couldn't be. Someone had misinterpreted. Lord, I know in this day that you sent us a prophet so thoroughly vindicated. That when in this very city here in Chicago, there's a ministerial showdown. Of those that were engaged in the end age, the shuck age, there was none as you stand before. Lord, I'm not looking for any further proof. I'm just looking for one thing, Lord, and that's your spirit to take this of the last days, what was taught us and what I've tried to teach this morning, the one you taught. Oh, God, I just want to crystallize and finalize, and that very thing to become revealed. Just like the people here, Lord, want that very message to come then. But that's it. Lord, we know that history's repeated itself. Elijah's come and gone, just like John. And the next time he comes will be to the Jews, 144,000. And then, Lord, the cataclysm upon this earth, a sweeping renovation, and the bride back in Eden, the honeymoon. Grant, Lord, that we may be fully aware of all of this and its implications, and everyone make his calling and election sure that if by any means he may be a part of his, that first resurrection. Lord, we pray that this morning. We haven't been here praying, church, oh God. We've been doing our best, Lord, which we know isn't any good at all, even if it was wonderful, except your spirit honor it. So, Lord, we commend everything now to you and thank you for your presence and what you have done and what you will consummate in these lives. For we know that he who hath begun a good work in us will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be all power and honor and glory. It by us reflecting him, in his own name we ask it, Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.